Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, it's that wonderful time of the week that we look forward to so very much, and it is Go Yard time, which means hitting a home run in life. I am Mama Mac, along with my wonderful co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni, and we are, as always, right here, live in the studio. Almost always, occasionally we're not, but almost always we are, and we are, of course, tonight, which means that you can text us or you can call in with questions or comments on tonight's topic. We're wrapping up a series we've been doing, and the number is 727-441-3000 if you want to call in with a question or a comment. And last week, Dr. Angel, we had our dear friend Betty, she's not on. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yawn?
Yes.
There we go. Did have her. All right. That's all right. We had our dear friend Betty Thomas here from Michigan, and she's a part of our Sunday show, and it was very nice to have her guest with us last Thursday night. We don't have that very often where somebody comes in and guests with us, but it was really good, and we were part three last week of dealing with relationship obligations. It's a whole series about feeling obligated, and so tonight we're going to wrap that up, and we don't have Betty with us, but we do have a special announcement tonight.
Yes, we do.
I don't know if we have any drum roll there, Tommy. Is there any drum roll that you can find? He's looking for drum roll. And there you go. Thank you. The special announcement is that Dr. Angel Falzoni is going whole hog in her private practice. Would you like to? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Well.
This is our fifth year of Go Yard, and you have been giving out so much "quote unquote" free advice. All these, and we're going to continue this show. We're not stopping the show, but you are starting your own private practice. So actually, you've been going on the side only for some friends, and now it's open to the public.
Yes, I'm opening it up, going in full time, and serving children, adolescents, adults, families, couples.
Right. You name
absolutely,
it. Marriage counseling, adult or high school kids, all kinds of things.
Yes.
And I got to mention this, and I try to remember to mention it a lot because it's very important that our listeners understand that you are a PhD. You hold two master's degrees, two bachelor's degrees. Your specialty is children and families.
Mm-hmm.
You're a guest speaker a lot of different places about children's and families issues. Foster care program you have headed up, and you have done a lot of work with this type of thing. Marriage counseling, all of this is your forte.
Yes.
Yes, that's her answer.
And trauma.
And trauma.
A lot of trauma work.
Childhood trauma, adult trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Get a pen and write this down. Her phone number is 727-501-6557. I'm going to give that to you in a minute. That's where you would call to schedule appointments, find out her hourly rate, where she would meet with you, etc. We will not go into all that on here, except to say that she is launching this more so than ever before, I guess, even though it's been going kind of on the side for a while. But you've been holding down another full-time job.
Yes.
So this is your full-time job, 727-501-6557. Give Dr. Angel a call. You really will be helped a lot. And you've helped my family with some situations with some of my extended family going through difficult divorces and things. And you're really good at what you do. So I hope the phone just rings for you and you get some clients set up. One more time, and then I'll give it to you again later in the show, 727-501-6557. And Dr. Angel will be cutting a commercial so that we will have it, Tommy, for the middle of the show. We'll get that done, you know, maybe next week. So we'll have that so we can use that. Because we have my real estate commercial on in the middle of our show all the time. And so we'll just add your private practice commercial, and then they'll also use it here on TantalkNetwork.com at other times. So with all of that said, we are going to do part four tonight, and yes, the last part of dealing with relationship obligations. I'm going to ask you a couple questions in review as we begin. What's a healthy relationship defined as?
Oh, healthy relationships. Those are
what are they based on?
Love and their right. mutualism.
Right.
Healthy relationships, you know, they have give and take, and they give freedom, and
right.
they, you know, listen and speak. You know, healthy relationships is really, you know, that freedom word is a big part of
right.
healthy.
And so many people find themselves in relationships, whether that be, we've talked about it, whether that's a work situation, an extended family situation, a marriage or professional, you know, whatever those things, friends, feeling obligated and not knowing what to do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people find themselves in it, and sometimes they may find that I have an obligatory relationship on some relationships, but others might be really healthy and not obligatory. So,
right.
like, maybe they feel like this huge obligation for, like, their parents.
Yeah.
But yet they have healthier relationships with, you know, their professional or personal or whatever. And then some people just feel like this almost with every relationship.
Right.
So
the whole concept with feeling obligated is, I got to do this. I really don't want to do it, but I got to do it. And if I don't do it, I mean, it's expected that I do it. And so I really don't want to do it, but I've got to do it. And that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's about a debt. You owe a debt. You feel like you owe this debt that you're constantly trying to pay off.
Right. Yeah. And we talked a couple weeks ago about how all these relationship obligations impact us. But one of those things we talked about was how it zaps our strength.
Oh, yes.
Emotional,
absolutely.
Physical, all that, right? Mental.
You know, well, it's because you're giving and you're giving and you're giving, but you're not feeding and mm-hmm. getting.
Right.
And we have a limited amount of strength, energy. Like, we're limited. We're finite. You have to fuel once you're pouring out all the time. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it zaps our strength, because these relationships that are obligatory are always about us doing,
right.
us giving, us being there, us picking
always,
this up.
Always meeting somebody else's need, and
us
we're not meeting our own, right.
right? We aren't meeting our own, and we aren't letting our relationships help meet some
right.
of our needs, or just help feed us back and strengthen us. And so, yes, they can be so overwhelming and strength zapping.
Well, and so often, I'm hearing a little bit of music there.
It's from your phone.
It's from my phone. Okay, it's from my phone. Sorry about that. That's the music I was hearing there. That was actually Betty. So maybe if she wants to comment here on anything, she can call in here. 727-441-3000. So, Dr. Angel, so often we are feeling so obligated, and we get ourselves into these relationships where sometimes it's almost like we attract people who zap our strength because they are needy, and we want to be the swoop in and be the knight in shining armor, or the person that has all the answers. You know what I mean? And that can get us into big trouble.
That sure can. You know, there is definitely this cultural idea of, you know, Prince Charming, the knight in shining
right.
armor, the savior
yeah.
complex. Call it whatever you want. I mean, how many of our romantic drama movies are always about someone needing to be saved and
right.
someone saving them? But the reality is, that's not a healthy relationship.
Right, no.
And, you know, when we're fed that message constantly, then we are kind of setting ourselves up for unhealthiness. And,
right.
you know, we can find ourselves us feeling neglected and our feelings not getting taken care of, us feeling like we're not worthy. You know, when we're always pouring out and we're not pouring in, there's usually something inside of us that maybe we don't feel like we should be loved, or we are lovable. And so it can lead to some really unhealthy patterns.
Absolutely.
But,
yeah.
you know, feeling like you're being taken advantage of or used all the time, like, these are really horrible feelings.
Well, tonight in part four, what we want to talk about is, where do we get these feelings of obligation? Where do they come from? And what do we do about them? And because it's a real problem for a lot of people that they go through life feeling obligated to meet all these other people's needs in their lives. Always be that friend that answers the phone. Always be that person that is there no matter what. And at the detriment of
themselves, their family. Right? Yes. Absolutely.
And how does it impact the person who is always Johnny on the spot to be the savior and the helper?
Well, you get sick more often. You run out of energy.
Right.
You yourself, you don't feel good about who you are because your identity has become in what you do and not who you are.
Whoa. Oh, that's huge. Boom. Back that up. Your identity is what?
Your identity becomes what I do.
Okay, what I do for you.
Right, what I'm doing for others.
Makes me feel good about me.
I only have a value if I'm doing something.
And if I don't answer the phone or don't meet the need or whatever.
Then I don't have a value.
And being a realtor for 27, 28 years now, we have been taught forever that you try your very best to answer the phone when it rings because those are leads, those are people that maybe want to see a house you have listed or whatever the case may be. So that's ingrained in me. And it's hard for me to let a message go to voicemail. It really is, unless it's just I'm on doing five things at once or writing a contract or whatever.
And I would say that is very, very true of you.
It is, isn't it?
You're very good at answering your phone.
I try my best to always pick up the phone. But that can be, in my case, that's a professional reason, okay? But for the average person, they don't have to pick up their phone every single time, right? Or they don't have to return that message within 5 minutes or like professional people do. They have to do that right away.
Correct.
Right?
You know, and a lot of people, their cell phone is really their leash.
Right.
And that's not healthy.
It is for me, though. It is. I got to say.
In a working environment.
Right, in a working environment.
But there are times when you're in church, your cell phone is on the side and it's going to voicemail.
If I'm on vacation, I try my best to just return messages later on in the day.
And you have good boundaries with it. And we need that.
I try.
We got to turn it off sometimes.
So for the person who says, I struggle with that, turning it off or not responding immediately because I know they might need me. I think a lot of times we can get into a mindset of, I'm the one that can help them, you know?
And maybe
we're not the one that can help them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's where it goes kind of crazy, wackadoodle, if you ask me. When people get it, whether it's a family member or your spouse or somebody, when you feel like you're the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, I try to point people to God because he's the answer. He really is the answer, even though the listening ear helps a lot of times. But God is the one in prayer. So that's what I believe with all my heart. But for those out there that don't believe that or don't have that mindset or faith process going on the inside of them, they can get very hung up with this.
Oh, yes.
Let's find out where it gets started in people. Where does it get started?
Well, you know, and here's the thing. This pattern is so hard to break because it's one of the patterns that we hold for a really long time in our life. We learn this in childhood, and it can happen in several types of ways. Many times we learn, our family kind of sets us up as children to feel responsible for our parents in some way.
Right.
You know, and so if a parent is unable to care for or take care of the home or the other members, this responsibility can be very much projected onto a child. Usually it's the oldest child who gets to have this projected, and it's kind of a parentification, we call it.
Parentification. I don't believe I've ever heard that term.
Yes.
So explain, define that term.
So that is when we are kind of putting adult responsibilities onto a child.
Okay.
Or adult worries or having adult type conversations to that child.
Oh my gosh. That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Like the mother going through the divorce is telling her 9-year-old
everything. Right.
They don't need to know. That's a parentification. I mean, and I have seen this really severely. I mean, I had a 4-year-old little boy who was diapering and feeding his 3 younger siblings while mom worked all day. 4 was the oldest at home.
You gotta be kidding.
No. That was an extreme example, but things like that happen, and it happens subtly. So this kind of thing gets set into you. It doesn't have to be this horrendous way. Maybe a parent's ill or disabled in some way, and so they need the extra help on the kids to take care of some of these extra adult tasks. Maybe a parent has depression or anxiety and is just not emotionally available, so they depend on the older sibling to do, or one of the siblings to do things for themselves and for the others, well, or for the parent.
I can understand that if it's a once in a while issue, you know, honey, go go do this, go bring me this, I'm feeding the baby, whatever.
That's normal and healthy.
That's normal.
Yes.
But when it gets crazy is when that person, that parent, is not doing their responsibilities and they're putting it on.
Sure.
Little children, middle school children, high school students, any of them, any age group. You know, right?
Children are not to bear the adult responsibility. And there's a difference between, you know, helping our children learn and grow and mature and giving them the adult responsibility. Children shouldn't know, do not need, especially young children, do not need to know about the bills and what's been paid and worry about, are we getting evicted? Right. Like, that's an adult responsibility. Kids should never have that, should have to have that worry.
Well, and on the other side of that, let's just take it to how many grandparents and great-grandparents are raising children these days.
A lot.
That are not their children. Mm-hmm. They are stepping in and taking over because of addictions, because of bad choices, incarceration, whatever.
Stuff.
And you've got people that are 80 years old raising 10-year-olds, you know? I mean, it is, it's, wow, talking about feeling obligated, that's an obligation. They feel
that
obligated.
Sure,
they don't know what else is going to happen to that child, so they would rather raise them. But I,
and it's a lot of, that does put a lot of stress. And you know what? There are a lot of really great caregiver groups. So if you are a caregiver and you're, you know, grandparent caregiver, get connected in with caregiver groups. But when we're talking about putting this responsibility, these adult problems onto the kids, that teaches them that I am here to pour out. I am here to give. I am here to take care of this adult.
So
the felt responsibility is also intense, where a parent could or did not take care of the children or responsibility for the children. So parents who were not attentive, so the kids were cooking for each other, or the kids were bottling and diapering the little ones constantly to take care of them. Parents who are neglectful or abusive or had addiction problems, this happens in all those types of families.
Okay, before you go on with that, let's go back to this thing, because I can't tell you the number of times I've heard through the years as a pastor when people say, well, I grew up in a home that I had to start cooking at age 8 because otherwise my siblings and I would not have eaten. So I learned how to make mashed potatoes. I learned how to fry an egg. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, Dr. Angel. It's not that uncommon that a lot of parents abdicate their responsibilities.
They are, and even way outside of the abusive realm. Like, I'm watching parents who work and then come home and play video games and then get their children to bring them their beer or bring them their drink themselves dinner, and they want to play their video games because they've worked all day and they're not available to their kids. This is what creates this dynamic of me feeling like I have to do for everybody else, because they started very young doing for their parents, the people who were supposed to be doing for them and taking care of them.
So this is where it begins. That's really what the point we want to make tonight is, we got to look at, where does this begin?
Yes.
And if you're driving your car or you're listening somewhere and you're going, wait a minute, those kinds of things happened to me as a child. I was doing those things. I was cleaning the house. I was running the sweeper at age 6. I was taking the pets outside and taking care of them and all of that. Then you got to look at, are you one of those that feel unnecessarily obligated to constantly be there for everybody in your sphere?
Absolutely, and that's a good question. A couple other things that will lead to that is parents who just fail to protect their children from whatever. That failure of protection leads children to feel like, I have to not only keep me safe, but everybody around me safe. So I have this duty to protect. Okay. They take on that duty.
Let's give an example of that that I've heard many times.
Okay.
Kids that grow up in a home and now you've got a step-parent or a boyfriend moved in, and suddenly that person... you know, mom is much more concerned about making that person happy. And mm-hmm. basically, she just kind of gives up on all the responsibilities for the kids because she is like, what's the word? Kowtowing. Mm-hmm. What's the word? I mean, anything the boyfriend wants or
right.
the new husband or whatever, that's where the emphasis is instead of making sure those children are still taken care of and safe. Fed.
Right. The children from previous relationships
right.
become the burden almost,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're tying this parent down from moving forward or whatever. And so they just quit emotionally giving to them or physically giving to them. Right. That absolutely
right.
is that failure to protect.
But you see that, don't you?
All
in
the time.
Your line of work, you've seen this, especially in foster parenting. What happens is a lot of times that whatever the organization is, children and families or whatever, come and take kids out of very dysfunctional families
mm-hmm.
and place them somewhere where they will be cared for and taken care of.
Well, that's the purpose of, because that care is really important in how we develop our self-identity, how we develop our relational identity. Like, what happens that sets us up for the rest of our life? Our first 5 years of life are so important to us that it really sets
that's true,
patterns.
Isn't it?
It is
yes.
absolutely true.
First 5 years.
I just was teaching this class last week, and it sets our patterns for our life. So to change those patterns, we can do it as adults. It's just really challenging, and we have to be patient and give ourselves time and really work at it.
And we've said this, but I'm going to go back to this point. I think one of the major problems in our society and our culture now that has caused this craziness as far as obligation feelings is addiction.
Addiction is a very big one.
And whether it be alcoholism, whether it be drug addiction, we've done series on that.
Whether it be prescription drug addiction.
Even prescription.
You know, people don't even want to recognize it because it wasn't street drugs, but it's the same dynamic.
Right. And what it does is it takes over the priorities
mm-hmm.
of the addicted person, and no longer are they... it's no longer are they caring for their children, let's say. And the children then develop this sense of having to take care of mommy.
This parentification. And we're caring for the parent, too.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, which is...
Right. And so
crazy
it sets up this whole feeling like I have to take care of people. Children who come from parents who believe everything is the child's duty to change. Like, things are their fault and it's their duty to change. So if they're having a problem in the marriage, it's because, why can't you get along with your siblings? Now, you know, now your dad won't come home. It's your fault. Like,
oh,
that
yeah.
makes
yeah.
these children take on that over responsibility.
Right.
Of having everything as their fault.
Well,
and the reality,
if I just behave better, then dad will come back home.
And they'll say that to you.
Oh, this, I've heard that. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I have a child who was told that it's his fault he's not living with his mother.
Okay.
It's never a child's fault why they were removed from their parents. It's the parents' fault. It's their duty to take care of a kid.
Exactly.
It's not the child's fault why
right.
he's not living there.
Right.
But that's that duty fault stuff.
Right. Exactly.
And then anytime a child is given deep feelings of shame, guilt, inadequacy, failure, or poor self-worth, that sets them up. And so I hear this in parents all the time everywhere. When I'm walking through the store and restaurants, like, you are bad. You are naughty. You are... That you are a shame.
That is
and
shame.
And we are setting that kid up to feel like I have no value in me, so my value is in what I do for you.
Right after this break, we're coming back to that point because we have to amplify on that. That is a huge problem. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Go Yard and part four of feeling unduly responsible for others. I'm wide awake.
I'm wide awake. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, WTAN.
Welcome back to the second part of part four of our obligation series, Feeling Unduly Obligated. We've got to go back to this point, Dr. Angel, about I believe this so many kids grow up now in this society feeling that responsibility, and it starts with that shame or feeling like, if I don't help mom, and what am I going to do? And then the parent, if it is an addiction or an alcohol problem, is laying on the sofa, passed out, and the child is feeling like, well, I got to feed my brother, or I got to change his diaper, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a crisis in America. It probably is in other lands, too. But I know in America, it seems like there's a lot of this obligation stuff set in motion when people are small, very small.
Absolutely. This is, and it starts very young. And that pattern, it's a pattern that we learn how to relate in all of our relationships. And we just continue taking that same pattern.
Right.
And it wears us out. And it's deeply ingrained. And so when we are told that we're bad and we're not, whatever, fill in the blank. A lot of parents use those shame-based parenting.
Even if
the kid's not parentified and taking care of everything, even if they're just put down.
Right.
That will foster the relationship of feeling like I have to do for everyone else because my value can't be in me. There's nothing good in me.
Well, so many people, so many parents make the mistake of saying things like, you always cause a fight between your dad and I.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Or you always are the one instigator. You're just a bad boy. You're just a bad boy. I'm tired of you.
Mm-hmm.
And putting them down like that, it has long-lasting years and years of stuff that happens to kids as a result of feeling shame and guilt.
Absolutely.
A lot of times just being a kid.
Yep, right? For just doing kid things, you know, getting a little trouble at school and the teacher has to call. I mean, I've heard parents flip, oh, now you're going to, you know, I'm going to lose my job. It's all your fault. We won't have a house. Like, that's a lot to put on to a kid who was, you know, seven and did a seven-year-old boy thing at school.
Right.
You know, there's normal things kids do. And, you know, and a lot of times, and what I hear parents doing now, which, oh my gosh, makes me cringe, is they're telling their kids if they don't behave a certain way that they're going to send them away somewhere. You won't get to live here anymore.
Right.
What is that about? Because
that
is one of those shame-inducing parenting skills. And you're telling a kid that...
How many times...
My love for you is based on what you do.
What you do. And how many times have you seen by people you've counseled, and I have too, where... there's such a fight going on between daddy and mommy, and the kid starts whatever happening, I'm hungry or whatever, and suddenly one of the parents storms out and the kid is blamed for all of it because he was hungry or he just
it's all your fault.
It's your fault.
All your fault.
Okay. So that's where this obligation type stuff starts, right? The child feels obligated to keep mommy happy, daddy happy, make sure the house is picked up and everybody's, you know, the kid is taking on way too much responsibility at a young age.
Yes. So there's the root. So what happens is then these children start manifesting their feelings because they have this chaotic environment. They're given too much responsibility, not enough of that emotional love, tender. No one's building their self-concept in a healthy way.
Right.
So then they feel this extreme need to please.
Right.
Might be
yeah.
one of the ways. So
yeah.
they are just pleasers. They will do anything to please.
Right.
Or
sure.
they might have an unhealthy drive for success. These are the kids that just barrel into their schoolwork and try to do success. And sport or school or whatever that they well, find that they can have some sense of success. That's how they're coping.
And a lot of times, it's, isn't it to try to please that parent?
Absolutely. And it's rooted back in the pleasing.
It's rooted back there where, okay, I messed up and I wasn't a good kid. I should have been. So now I'm going to prove to you I'm going to be a success in my life.
And it may be to please the parent. It might be to please the teacher. It's just to please so that I can feel like I have value. These kids are very sensitive to any criticism. So if any, you know, somebody tries to give them feedback or whatever, they take it very to heart. Like,
okay.
I stink because they've heard that message
yeah.
so long. I'm bad. I stink. These kids can get very defensive, which is why we might see some aggression in boys.
Oh, yeah.
So we see these boys might fight more. We see the girls shut down more. And nobody's complaining about the kid who's quiet in their room doing nothing. But those are the kids that are really in trouble.
Those are the ones in trouble. How about when you get to preteen or whatever, and you suddenly, these kids that used to be so compliant and whatever are rebellious,
yep.
and they are taking drugs on the side, and they are having sex at age 12, or whatever the case may be, doesn't it a lot of times go back to this dysfunction
yes,
from
it goes
early
to this
ages?
Root, and yeah. that comes through that escape behaviors.
Yeah. Those are escape behaviors?
Those are escape behaviors. I have to escape what I'm feeling, and I don't have the brain development to process it. I don't have the support in my family. So that's where they do
yeah, a lot
whatever
of them
it is.
These days, I mean, and you hear it a lot, but we've heard it, and I'm sure you do in therapy, that these kids are starting to have sex at age 11, 12, 13.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, ridiculous stuff.
Yes.
Or they're smoking at a very young age, yes. or they're acting out in really bad ways.
I've had 9-year-olds addicted to porn. I've had...
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
9-year-olds?
9-year-olds addicted to porn.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Well, the internet, it makes it so much easier for them to find mm-hmm. things that they never could before. And parents who want to abdicate their responsibilities, then just get on your PlayStation. Just
go to
get
your
on
tablet.
Your,
go to your tablet. Yeah, go to your just, phone. And they're not monitoring because they're not.
They don't care.
They're missing what things this child needs anyway, so they're really not monitoring the social media and internet. And these kids have the world, and they're they're vulnerable to human trafficking. I mean, we just got a call on a kid from California law enforcement. One of our kids was being targeted by a known predator in California over video games, and the parent.
Seriously. What do you mean over video games?
That's how they're doing it now. It's not even like text messaging or whatever. These predators are playing
they're
the video
playing the
games
game
and they're talking to these kids through the headset and luring them.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. And this is real. And this is what's happening. And
the parents who want their child just to get out of their hair, leave me alone, turn on your video game, go to your room, play Xbox, whatever the case may be. What we're saying is those kinds of things should be monitored and should be limited amount of time that they're allowed. Not to say that no kid can ever play on video or whatever. Not at all. But that it needs monitoring and parents that are into themselves and what's going on and how they're trying to keep hubby happy or the latest boyfriend happy or... Mm-hmm. whatever.
Or making sure they look young or whatever that's important to them in that moment. Yeah, it really impacts your children, but it impacts them for a very, very long time. And for some people, it can impact them for the rest of their life if they don't get help and work through it. Because what happens is that responsibility then becomes the responsibility I felt towards my siblings and my parents. Now I feel towards everybody I'm in relationship
so
with.
So that's connecting the dots here right
yes,
now.
Was the trajectory.
Here, part four of this series on feeling overly responsible
mm-hmm.
or obligated. And it is because these things are rooted in childhood. And so often people think, well, my childhood wasn't that bad. But when they start really getting help and realizing perhaps there's some of this was
right,
there.
And it doesn't have to be bad to have given you this thought process.
Well, there you go. Good point.
I mean, a sick parent, I mean, that was a parent who loved you and couldn't help that. Maybe they did get sick, or maybe there was a disability and the kid had to help out, but it still set up this pattern. It might not have been a bad memory, but they still learned this pattern.
Yeah.
So unlearning it. So how do we break this mindset?
Okay, let's talk about that.
And that's really important. It is a mindset. It's a very deeply ingrained mindset. So you got to be patient.
Yeah.
You're going to have a couple steps forward, a couple steps backwards. It's hard to take something so deeply ingrained and make it different.
Okay, let me stop you right there a minute. Shouldn't really, if it's a serious mindset issue like this, shouldn't people try to get therapy?
Absolutely.
And there are some free things in counties and things like that to help people that cannot afford professional help, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know you are, and I know a lot of people in this field are very trained in how to break the cycle of abuse in families and how to deal with things in a realistic way, in a helpful way. And we just can't go at it and think hit and miss. Well, today I'll take my kids to the park.
Right.
You know, it's so much more than that.
It really
right?
is. And these issues can get really deep. And so you're right. The more you feel obligated, the more relationships you have this obligation, the more help you need to break it.
Right.
And it is a mindset. And getting help is, it helps you get there quicker and it helps
right.
you get there more effectively. But one of the tasks you really got to start doing is, A, you got to learn to take care of your own needs.
Okay.
You have to recognize your needs. Outside of recognizing, where did this come from? What was it that came in my childhood that made me feel like I have to take care of everyone? Then I got to learn, what are my needs?
Okay. All right. So back up a minute. So first of all, you got to recognize that you are always feeling overly obligated.
Yes.
And to meet everybody else's needs, right?
Right. Which relationships do you have that duty obligation for?
So that's step one.
Yes.
If you guys are taking notes, write that down. You got to decide, are you that kind of a person, or do you just understand what we're talking about, but it doesn't like hit you because you really don't have those? Not everybody feels this way.
No, they do not.
No.
And not everybody feels this way in every relationship.
Right. It's certain relationships, mm-hmm. right? Okay. I mean, you see it in the workplace.
Yes, you do.
There are people that are constantly trying to please others and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so go on back. I'm just okay. wanting to back that up. So, number one, you got to figure out if that's something you need to work on.
And which relationships. Identify the ones that you feel this way towards. The next step is identifying where you learned it from. Where is the beginning of this trail?
Why is that important?
Well, because that helps us to change the mindset.
Okay.
You know, we got to know sometimes where things started so that we can see it from an adult perspective, because we might have taken responsibility that wasn't ours, like our parents divorced and we felt that was our fault and that's where it stemmed. Well, a parent relationship has no bearing on what the child does. And so we have an adult mind now, so we can see it from a better perspective. And this may, you need help with a therapist, then that's totally okay to go back in there and figure out, where did I learn this duty obligation
and
from.
A good therapist is going to be able to probe and find out why you feel what you feel and what your
and help
childhood.
You get to the beginning of all of that.
Okay.
So
that was point two.
Yes, that's point two. And point three is you need to start taking care of your needs.
Okay, so like what? Yeah, what do you mean by that? Your needs. I mean, you're taking care of your rest or what? What are you talking
all
about?
Of them, yes, your needs. And that's it. What are your needs? A lot of times people who are so obligated to other people, they don't even know what they need because they've ignored them for so long. So, yeah, you need to take care of, you know, your rest and your diet and just your needs. Is your house clean the way you want it? Is, you know, what do you need?
Right.
You know, do you have that friend that hears you when you need to
right.
talk and
exactly.
goes and have, because you need that. We
yeah.
all need that.
We need a support system.
Who's there for you? If you can't identify who's there to hear you without you doing anything from them, then that's a need of yours.
Okay,
that you
so
need.
Talk about that a second. Support system. Why is that important? And who can it be for people if they're out there and they're listening and they're going, I don't even know what a support system is and how do I find it and where is it?
Support system are those people that It's that mutualism relationship where if I have a need, they're going to be there for me. They're going to hear me as I hear them. And so if you do not have a support system, start to build one. You can make a friend. You can join. There's self-help groups for people who really struggle with this. That's a great support system. You can have a sponsor that can help you get through this.
Okay. Example being Al-Anon. Yes. If you really grew up in a home with addicted parents or an alcoholic parent or you were married to somebody like that, mm-hmm. one of the best groups around, in my opinion, is Al-Anon. Mm-hmm. And it is free. You mm-hmm. don't pay to go there. But there are Al-Anon groups all over town, mm-hmm. wherever you are. In small towns, maybe one, but there's Al-Anon groups, and they're, what, an hour? And they teach you how to get your head straight on what is...
How to break the cycle.
Right, how to break the cycle and realize what is your obligation and what it isn't. And Al-Anon is so good for people that are codependent mm-hmm. as a result of having grown up or still living in a situation where you feel totally obligated to fix it all the time. Yes. Obligated. That's that codependency. Do you want to talk about codependency any more than that? We've done shows on codependency.
We sure have. But, you know, and codependency is where I derive my identity from what I do for you, my connection to you.
Right.
And so it is like a savior complex. You have to be the hero. And in codependence, they are not taking care of themselves.
Right.
My identity can only be from what I've done for you. And I need to do for you to feel good about me.
Right.
There's codependency groups. There's a lot of self-help groups. A lot of churches just have groups in general for, you know, just helping to give you some more support. Support's important because we all need it. I mean, we can't just be the one person that everybody calls all the time.
Right.
We need to have some of those one people for us. So who do you call?
So support, let's just define that. Break it down one more time.
Okay.
Support does not necessarily mean that people fix everything for you. What does it mean? A support system.
A support system means that maybe they just listen with empathy and compassion and let you be heard. Maybe they hear you so you can come to your own conclusions on what you need to do. Maybe they do offer a suggestion. Maybe you take it, maybe you don't. Support is not about rescuing.
No,
at
it's
all.
Not. No, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Why is it not about rescuing?
Because rescuing is not really helping someone. Okay. It's usually making what they're in worse.
Can you give an example of somebody who might have rescued in a given situation? Or how does somebody know
you
if
deal
they're
with
a rescuing?
Oh my gosh, I deal a lot in addiction where like somebody's, you know, spent their money on to get their fix, and now they're getting evicted from their house, so the parent pays their rent.
Oh yeah, there you go.
There's a rescue. Well, we just enabled them to keep doing the drugs.
Right.
Because now we stepped in, and from them paying the natural consequence. And a rescue, and that's it. So a rescue is any time we break the natural consequence cycle for someone.
That's an excellent definition. Because when we do that and we don't want them to hurt.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We feel obligated to help them. We're back to our point, the O word of this series, obligation. And if you're a parent or a family member or a friend or a spouse of somebody that keeps doing ridiculous things or gets thrown in jail or gets, you know, whatever the case may be, and you think you're helping them by bailing them out or by rescuing, mm-hmm. whatever form that might take, you're not. They need to hit bottom.
Yeah. We need to pay
the
consequences
of our
actions.
Boy, that's hard, too, for parents. And as a mother and me and you, too,
yes.
and as a grandmother for me, it is hard to let our family members suffer their consequences.
It is. It is. But that, you know, pain brings change. And when we avoid, when we break the natural consequence cycle.
Right. If nothing changes, nothing changes, right?
They don't feel the pain. There's no motivation to change.
No. And if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, how many times do we give this definition of insanity? If you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
There's insanity.
That's insanity. Because when we do that, it's usually out of obligation.
Yes.
Because we don't want Johnny to hurt. We don't want him to be sleeping on a park bench someplace tonight, you know?
Correct.
Or we don't want
We don't want people to think we're a bad person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What will people think if my kid got arrested? I've heard that 100 times.
Right.
What do they think about me?
What will the neighbors think?
Yeah, what will the neighbors
think? If a police car shows up.
Yes.
right?
So getting back into breaking the cycle, because we're coming down to our last 10 minutes.
Yeah, we are.
So I want to make sure we get this through. We need to understand our responsibilities.
Okay.
Because when we have this issue of feeling obligated, we feel over-responsible for everybody else and under-responsible for ourselves.
Right.
So here's our responsibilities. Each adult is 100% responsible for themselves.
People don't like to hear that.
Oh, no, they do not.
They want to be rescued. They yes. want somebody to step in and feel sorry for them and help them with whatever it is they're going through.
Absolutely. But we are 100% responsible. So if we don't have our needs getting met, if we're not that's our responsibility. That's right. Our fault. We're missing our own. Each adult is 0% responsible for another adult.
But look at how many grandparents, again, are raising their own, kids.
Yeah, that's a child. But each adult is not responsible for another adult.
This is true. That's a difference.
We might come together in marriage and share responsibility.
Right.
But that is a choice to share. It is not me taking over your responsibility.
Although that happens all the time in
marriage.
Yes,
it does. And it's off balance, and then they feel used and abandoned and all this other great stuff, and it feeds the cycle. Each adult is responsible for his or her relationships with adults and the quality of those relationships. So if they're not healthy, it's our responsibility to do something about it.
Right.
Either work to make it healthy or put that relationship in a different place in our
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
Stay in the victim of that relationship. I have to. I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day who had this thing they needed to get done by a certain deadline, and then, but I had to go see my neighbor for 9 hours. Why did you have to see your neighbor for 9 hours? Well, because they invited me over, and every time I tried to leave, they'd get mad. That was your responsibility to take care of what you had to do.
That is extreme.
To give up that time.
Whoa.
That's that obligation feeling, though. And I hear these things all the time in statements from people, and they don't even realize it. And then each adult is 100% responsible to care emotionally and physically for their children.
Absolutely.
The children are not responsible to meet an adult's emotional needs, any physical need, any kind of need. A child should never be meeting an adult need. The adults are responsible to meet the child's need, period.
Absolutely. And as a grandmother, I tell you that I have had to different times think, unless my child or my daughter-in-law or whatever asks me my opinion on this teenage issue, they're not my responsibility.
Correct.
As much as I love them, love them, I can't fix that situation, and that problem needs to be handled by their dad or their mom or their mom and dad together. And I think that's where a lot of us as grandparents get in trouble. We feel obligated to come in and voice our opinion, and then it causes World War III in the house and pits people against each other, when a wise grandparent should say to their kids, you two go work that out, and I'll be right here praying for you, or I'll be here supporting you, whatever
Absolutely.
The case may be, right?
Absolutely. I agree with you. You know, it's one thing to give counsel when asked. That's always, but they still have the choice to take it or not take it, and giving them that freedom to accept your counsel or not accept your counsel.
But in keeping with this topic, a lot of family members and close friends and whatever feel like if they just throw their 2 cents in or their 29 cents in,
they're rescuing it from the problem.
Right. And because they know how to fix it more than their own kids and whatever. How do parents learn to be parents? They learn by trial and error.
On the job training.
On the job training. There's no manual, right?
You know what? You learn. You make the mistake. You feel crappy and realize you made a mistake. You fix the mistake and you don't do it again.
And it's a wise parent that can say to the child, you know what? Please forgive me because I mishandled that situation.
I've had many of those conversations with my children over the years.
And I'd had to admit, wait a minute, I didn't handle that correctly. Or I was angry, or I misspoke, or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely, but that's how you learn to be a parent, is doing it, making the mistake. Every time, if we're saving people from their failures and mistakes, we're stunting their growth.
So feeling obligated for other people's relationships is going to get you in trouble every single time.
Yes, there's nothing healthy about this duty to take care of someone else, this duty to rescue them from a problem, this duty to be there at their beck and call. Like, that's not what we're here for.
We're not here for that.
And we have to protect ourselves. No one's going
to
do that for
us. I've had to learn this as a pastor, and it's not an easy lesson to learn because so often as a pastor, you feel that you need to be there to pick up pieces.
Sure.
But you can't always. You know, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But feeling this obligation, that's where we get into trouble. Sum it up, doctor. You've got about 3 minutes to do that.
Well, you know, I will say that when I gave our responsibilities, I used a lot of absolute 100% and 0%.
Yeah, you did.
And I don't usually do that.
No.
So that just lets you know how important it is. Each adult is responsible for herself or himself to make sure that they're taking care of themselves, they're getting their needs met, and that they're taking care of their own responsibilities.
Right.
You know, and we're always our culture has taught us to look at what everybody else is doing and judge it and get involved in it.
Right.
But no. We let our own lives lapse and fall apart.
Right.
So look at your relationships. Who do you feel obligated to? Who do you feel this duty to? Who do you feel a debt to? Identify it. Start working on it. Look at changing your mindset. Take your responsibility of taking care of you first and what you're responsible for. And if you're that parent and you're like, oh my gosh, I have started parentifying my kids. I do let, you know, the 5-year-old change the diaper for the 2-year-old. Stop.
Stop.
Stop it right now and step in and be that parent.
Because you're doing harm to those children that have adult responsibilities placed on them at a young age.
Right. If you're that
hurting them, you're harming them.
And you're going through the divorce, please don't talk to your teenage daughter.
Oh,
I don't care if she's 16.
No,
that's not what she needs to hear. She's not your confidant. Go get in a divorce support group. Go make friends. Your daughter, your son, your kid, even if they're young adults, do not need to hear and have that burden.
They don't want to hear that stuff about their dad or their mom. So
absolutely.
Be careful what you put out there. We got 2 minutes. So with all this said, doctor, I think there's hope in that as people learn to look at their lives from a vantage point of truth, and I want to see the truth in this situation. And how can this series, for instance, help me be a better parent or a better spouse or a better co-laborer at work or whatever the case may be? It really, as in so many of our shows, it comes down to looking at ourselves.
Absolutely. And
right?
Taking our power.
Right.
You know, so many times when I work with people, like, they'll be like, oh, well, I learned this because my parents. Then they blame them. It's their fault, and that's why I'm like that. No,
right.
No. Because you have 100% responsibility for yourself as an adult. What are
right.
you going to do about it?
That's exactly right.
If you choose to stay there, now it's your fault.
This is one of the series that probably is one of our better ones in that it hits everybody. This
yes.
is impactful for everyone. Sometimes we do series on divorce or drug addiction or whatever the case, and somebody says, oh, that may not apply to me. But this kind of stuff does. And this is part 4, so you don't want to miss it. It'll be up on podcast probably this evening. Absolutely, it will. Right here, you can listen to it again. You can call a friend and say, I just heard the show. Please listen with me, or a spouse, or a family member, or your children, whatever the case may be. And this is who? Who are you anyway?
I'm Dr. Angel.
Oh, that's who you are. And your phone number is 727-501-6557 if you want to call her for counseling services. 727-501-6557. She's Dr. Angel. I'm Mama Mac, and this is Go Yard, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. See ya.
Good night.
Bye.